Okay, Kuf Mem Mem Beis on the bottom. Everybody said brachas. It was okay. Okay, we had the Mishnah yesterday that discussed. We started the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah was about actions and preparations that one is allowed to do regarding the animal's food on Shabbos. It spoke about sweeping out the trough so that the animal's food doesn't get mixed up with the dirt and the other garbage in the trough. That was Machlokas Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim. We spoke about there's an issue of choresh, where there's an issue of you might come to smooth out the ground. Everybody agreed, therefore, maskana, that a avishal karka was aser. And the only question is, are your goes there in avis kli atu avis shel karka? That was the first part of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah, the Gemara discusses the second line of the Mishnah, which it was, notim lefnei behem azu v'notim lefnei behem azu b'shabbos. You're allowed to take it from in front, you're allowed to take food from in front of one animal and put it in front of another animal. That's not considered shalol tzarech. And we don't assume that animals will be, quote unquote, worried about germs, that they will, that they won't eat it once you give it to them. So says the Gemara, V'nos lef milfnei behema, five lines up. Tana chada not milfnei behema, shepia yafe, V'nos lef milfnei behema, shepia ra. One b'raisa says you're allowed to take it from an animal that has a piha yafe, that its mouth is beautiful and nice, and put it in front of an animal that it has a bad mouth. V'nos lef milfnei behema, shepia ra, and the other bride says the opposite. You're allowed to take it from in front of an animal that has piara, a ra mouth, and put it in front of an animal that has a yafa mouth. So how do you understand these two brides? Amar Abaya, Idi says Abaya, there's no stira. They're just referring and describing the same animal in two different ways. Idi bikami chamra lakami tura shaklinan. Either way, according to everybody, says Abaya, you're allowed to take food from in front of a donkey to put in front of an ox. That's fine. But from an ox to a donkey, you can't. Why not? What's the difference between a donkey to an ox to a donkey? So says the Gemara, Vahadiktani, and both Bryces are really referring to this, that you're allowed to take from a donkey to an ox, but you're not allowed to take an ox to a donkey. So why an ox isn't as makbid? Or a donkey is more makbid. So what did the first brisa mean when the brisa says you could take it from a piha yafe and give it to an animal that's piha ra, which we're saying means you're allowed to take it from a donkey and put it in front of an ox, bechamor. So the animals, so the first brisa that said you could take it from a behema shepia yafe, the behema yafe is a chamor, the less lay riri. The chamor does not salivate and slobber all over the food. So that's why it's called piha yafe in that brisa. And you could put it in front of an animal that was piha ra. That's why it's called piha ra, because it is an animal which salivates all over the food. But that's why you're allowed to go from a chamor to a shor, because the shor is not going to be disgusted by the animal that was put in front of the chamor, because it doesn't have saliva all over it from the other animal. That's why it's mutter on Shabbos. What about the other brisa? The other brisa says you're allowed to take it from an animal that's piha ra. Why is the donkey there called piha ra? The chamor to lo daik v'achel. Piha ra just means that he's not as medaktik, he's not as picky in terms of what he eats, and he just eats. And that's why he's called Pihara. And you're allowed to put it in front of a behema, an animal that's considered Piha Yafa. Why is a para, an ox called Piha Yafa there? The para, the daika ba'achlo, because the para is very medactic and eats only specific items. Rashi says here he doesn't eat thorns and thistles. He will eat the donkey's food. That's the whole point of his gemara. He will eat the donkey's food, even though, because the donkey does not salivate over the food, but he won't eat other things. That's why he's called piha yafe. Okay, but either way, lamaskana, both rices referred to this state that if the animal is going to eat it and he won't be disgusted by the food put in front of him, then it's considered l'tzarach haShabbos, and therefore you're allowed to put it in front of him. Just as we've learned in the past, the most talking about animals here that are mizonosehan alecha, that you have to feed. We've mentioned that it's an issur d'rabbanan to feed animals that don't belong to you, and their mizonos is not dependent on you on Shabbos. We spoke about feeding the birds by Shabbos Shira, and other times when the Tashlich is coming up, we're going to learn about talk about throwing bread. So if you want to throw bread, do it on a weekday. If you're doing it on Rosh Hashanah, just think about throwing bread. But just the minhag is to go to the water. But the Shmir Shabbos and other posts already say that you know, you shouldn't throw the bread because that's feeding animals that don't rely upon you for food on Shabbos or Yontif. So that's an Issa D'Rabbanan, it shouldn't be done. So here we must be talking about a case where the animals rely upon you for food. Next, Mishnah. Back to some halachos of Muksa, which we'll get to. This last daf of Tolin, the next parak in Notel, next parak is two blot long. Chavis, a couple of short prakim coming up. Hakasha Agabi Hamita, Lo Yinanebiyado. Let's say you on your bed, you have a straw, you have straw on your bed, you want to take a nap, but you didn't designate the straw before Shabbos as a mattress. The straw is there. Look over, you were going to use it for firewood, for kindling. Yeah, you decided all of a sudden on Shabbos, you know what, I want to take a nap. So straw is muksa. So what do? So lo yinaneh biyado, you're not allowed to move it directly with your hand, because that would be moving muksa directly. Ela menaneh bagufo, but you can move it with your guf. We'll see what that means in a couple minutes. Right? But let's say the pashas is, let's say, not directly, let's say with your elbow, with your this, you lie down, you move around a little bit, then you get comfortable. That is mutter, moving muksa in an indirect way. And if, though, it was designated already from before Shabbos as animal food, or it has a sheet or bedding on top of it, which then, obviously, is a sign, is a simen, that it's going to be used as a mattress, right, so then you're allowed to move it in your hand. Again, this is an example of muksa machmas gufo. Straw inherently is muksa machmas gufo. It's not a kli shalav to lisser. It's muksa machmas gufo. It's inherently muksa. And if one does an act before Shabbos or thinks of it in a way that it will be muchan, you're going to use it on Shabbos, therefore it loses its status of muksa machmas gufo. If you bring rocks in from the inside because you know you have a fan on in your dining room and you know it's going to blow the tablecloth up and down, you know, because of the plastic, so and you bring a rock in from before Shabbos to put it on the tablecloth to act as a tablecloth holder, not muksa anymore, because you're now already designated it from before Shabbos. You have to do that before Shabbos. But as we mentioned, Bein Hashmashos is the critical moment in terms of determining muksa on Shabbos. Migu this Kasoy Bein Hashmashos is Kasoy L'Kul Yoma. Once something's muksa, it's muksa for the rest of Shabbos. But if you did it before Shabbos, like if you designated this straw before Shabbos, it is not a problem. And Rashi here says, just an important line, which we'll get to more in a second, Menaneo Bagufo, third skinny line, Rashi says, Biktefav, with his shoulders, V'tiltul Min Hatzadhu Deloshmei Tiltul. This is indirect movement of muksa, which is mutter, which we'll come back to in a minute. Let's first finish the Mishnah. Machmesh abali batim. If machmesh is like what they used for an iron in the olden days, it was two slabs of stone, and you put a piece of clothing, a garment in the middle, and you smushed it together, and you sealed it very tightly, and that's how you pressed. That's how you pressed items, garments. Bizman HaMishnah. So let's say you have a presser or a right with function as an iron. Machmesha Balibatim. So if you have one of Balibatim, which means not a professional one, a residential machbesh, matirin avalokovshin. Matirin, you're allowed to open the machbesh and take out your clothes on Shabbos. Avalokovshin, but you're not allowed to be kovesh. You're not allowed to close it tightly itself. Why not? What's the issue here? So Rashi here says, Matirin, you're allowed to open it, you're allowed to take out the pegs which tie in it, but you can't be kovesh. Rashi says, Dahainu sorich chol. Because taking out the stuff is because you need it on Shabbos. That's why you're allowed to open it. But to close it, you wouldn't be able to. Why? Rashi says, there's no smach of a malachi here, but it's sorich chol. Why are you closing it? It must be you're closing it for after Shabbos. So therefore you're not allowed to close it. Other poskim are not so happy with this pshat. The Rashash here argues on Rashi, says, why doesn't the Mishnah just say you're allowed to do it letzarach Shabbos, not after Shabbos? Right? We had a Mishnah way back about Kuf Yud Aleph or so about folding clothes. The Mishnah said beferish, you're allowed to fold it, you're allowed to do stuff letzarach Shabbos, but not shalol letzarach Shabbos. It's a achana issue. So here it doesn't sound like from the Mishnah that it's an issue of tzarach Shabbos or not. It says you're allowed to open it but not close it. It sounds like there's something more per se a problem with closing it. So that's why the Rishash does not like Rashi, and the Rishash here says, what is the problem then with closing a machbesh that belongs to a balabais? Let me just find it here. So the Rishash had said he thinks the issue is atam shema yiska, because when you close it, you know, you might tighten it with the pegs and be tokayed very well permanently, so it might be an issue of a CS kli, something like that, but not that it that's arguing on Rashi. Because Yerushim Yiska, which we've had in the Gemara before. But either way, he doesn't like Rashi's pshat because it doesn't sound that way from the pashas of the Mishnah. But that's by the machbesh of the Bali Batin. Vishel Kofsin. But what about the machbesh, this presser of the professional cleaners, the koves? Lo yigabo, says the Mishnah, those you can't touch. So again, the pashas of the Mishnah, why can't you touch it? What would you say? So the pashas of the Mishnah would be Muksa Machbas Chesra and Kis. You can't touch it because it's why else do you ever, we've already mentioned, touching something, that's a very chomer lasho, not to touch it. And that's how the Rambam learns the Mishnah. If you look at the Rambam in Hilcha Shabbos, the Rambam, when he quotes this Mishnah, says, V'shel kofsin lo yigabo ebeishu muksa machbas chesra and kis. Touch it. That's what it sounds like. Rashi doesn't say that, though. Rashi says, why are you not allowed to touch it? Lo yigabo, Rashi, ebeishu asui letakena begadim, it's made to fix clothes. V'tochvo b'chazaka u'mehadek, and it gets tightened. V'hatara shalo domeh l'stira. Opening it and loosening it is like destroying. Domeh l'stira. It's like the malach of Soser, demolishing midrabanan. It's domeh l'stira. And therefore, you're not allowed to do it. So again, it's a kli. It is a kli, but it's because it's a drabanan of domeh l'stira, you can't touch it. Oh, so very good. So there's some of the Achronim in the back said, ask Rashi holds Ein Binyan Mekalim. Even Tozo's Ein Binyan Mekalim, but Rashi is the one that says Ein Binyan Mekalim Klal on Daf Kufbeis and other places. That's one kasha on Rashi. Ein Binyan Mekalim, Ein Binyan Mekalim, Ein Stira Mekalim. Question number two on Rashi is that the Mishnah says Lo Yigabo. Is Lo Yigabo a lasha that you would use if it's usher just to close because it's usher because it's domil malacha? So why does Rashi say that? Why does Rashi say that Vahatar Shlo domil Stira? So, little question. Maybe from the next line we'll get a little answer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, let's finish the Mishnah for a minute, then we'll come back to the Machlokas Rambam Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im haya mutar be'erev me'erev Shabbos, madir is kulo v'shomto. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was a little open from before Shabbos, then, you know, you're allowed to open it the rest of the way and take out your clothes. That's Yehuda's Rabbi Yehuda. Is Rabbi Yehuda arguing on the Tanakhama or explaining the Tanakhama? What do you say? So the Magen Mishnah says, maybe this is the issue of Rashi and the Rambam. According to the Rambam, what's the Svara for Rabbi Yehuda? Let's say Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the Tanakhama. So what's the Svara of Rabbi Yehuda? If it's open a little bit, it's okay. It's Chesra and Kis. Chesra and Kis, who cares? Who cares whether it's open or not? It's not an issue of Domeh L'Stira. So the Magen Mishnah says that the Rambam understood this as a Machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says Mutter, but the Tanakhama says, no, it's always Aser. Why would something be Aser even if it's open already a little bit and you're still opening it? It must be Chesra and Kis. That's why the Rambam says the issue is Muksa Machbas Chesra and Kis. Mash'ekin, according to Rashi, maybe Rashi understands as Rabbi Yehuda explaining the Tanakhama, not as arguing on the Tanakhama. If he's explaining the Tanakhama, you can't say it's a Chesra and Kis issue. Because then, who cares if it's open a little bit? Chesra and Kis, you can't touch it. It's valuable, expensive. You're not going to use it. So that's why Rashi says the issue is one of Domeh L'Stira. It looks like you are destroying because this whole thing is closed. You're opening it a little bit. You're like breaking it. Quote, not really breaking it, but it's Domeh. That's why Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda is explaining, that's why he says the issue is Stira. Because then if it's open a little bit, it's not Domeh L'Stira. So that's the Machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam, which might be based on how they understood Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Whether Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the Tanakhama or arguing with the Tanakhama. Good. Amar of Nachman, further in the Gemara. Hi Pugla. This Pugla, we spoke about a Pugla a little bit before. It's a radish that they used to hide in the ground or in the straw to for refrigeration purposes, to keep it cool, to keep it fresh. So milamala lamata shari, milamata lamala asr. So Rav Nachman said, milamala lamata, that means if the fat part is on top. So you have a fat part of the radish, the wide part, and the skinny part. So if the fat part is on top, so when you take the radish out from on top, you're not really moving the muksa, you kind of move it and the muksa falls into the open space by itself. Shari, that's mutter. Milamata lamala asr. But if the fat part's on the bottom, so when you pick up the muksa, so then the muksa is going to be somewhat moved more directly by you. You're not touching the muksa directly, you're going to touch the radish, but that's going to move the muksa. Asr, that's asr. Amr avada barava. Amri Bey Rabbi Rav Chanina to look Rav Nachman. It sounds like, says Rav Adar Bar Abba, our Mishnah seems to be against Rav Nachman. Because what does our Mishnah seem to say? Hakasha gabi amita lo yinanei abiyadav amanei begufo. What does our Mishnah say? That if you have straw on your bed and you want to use it, you just move around, you move it indirectly, and then that's mutter. And if it's prepared before Shabbos, it is okay. Then you don't have to worry about any issue of muksha. Shmamina, but what do you see from our Mishnah? Tiltul menatzad lo shmei tiltul shmamina. You see from our Mishnah that moving muksha indirectly is not a problem, because what does it say? You're allowed to move it with your goof. And therefore, it's a akash, it's against Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman says if you pick up the radish, the fat part on the bottom, that's going to be moving muksa in an indirect way, tiltum anatzad, and it's aser. So our mission is against Rav Nachman. Fine. Sorry? The issue of kotzer, what's nothing's kotzer. The radish is cut already. No, that, but it's not connected. It's not mushrash. There's no roots. If you put something in the ground and take it out, there's no kotzer issue. Unless it's mush nishtarish again.
Can you make a chilek between your shoulder and your...
Oh, very good. So let's talk about this. This is a very important line. Halacha maisa. Moving muksa. What happens when your child's walking in the street and he kicks a rock and he has this rock? So besides ruining his shoes, could you tell him that there's a halachic issue with what he's doing? Do we have any basis to say that? What is that? Is that moving muksa directly? You're moving with your foot? Or what about the old elbow pushing the shaver off of the bed? You know, what is that okay? What's going on with that? So there are various gemaras throughout Masechta Shabbos. Some say tiltul menatzad, indirect movement shmei tiltul. Some say lo shmei tiltul. So lamaisa, what's the issue? So if you remember back on daf mem gimel amabez, there's a tosfos there that asks this kasha. He goes three gemaras on each side. What is it? Tiltul menatzad shmei tiltul, lo shmei tiltul. So tosfos's opinion is, and this is the Ran's opinion as well, that it depends why ultimately you're moving the muksa. If you're moving the muksa litzorech dover hamutter, if you're moving the muksa ultimately for a mutter, like this case of the radish, like you're moving the muksa for to get the radish, you're not moving it to get to the muksa items, so then that's mutter. If you're doing tiltum anatzad, it depends what your purpose is. If you're doing it for the purpose of the davar ha-mutter, then it's mutter. But if you're doing it for the purpose of the davar ha-aser, then it's aser. So the Ran says, in the back in the third parak, the trei gavni tiltum anatzad, the kol she'ikr til tulo mishim davar ha-mutter, v'davar ha-mutter hu she'metaltel, and the ikr movement that you're doing is the davar ha-mutter, el she'yesh lo le-taltel, also davar ha-mutter, elam kei yadam davar ha-aser, but it's just impossible for you to move the davar ha-mutter without moving the davar ha-aser. I want to get into bed. I want to lie down under my covers. So I'm going to pick up my covers to go into bed, and oh, the shaver's going to fall off on the side. What can you do? You know, so that's moving the bed, moving the blanket, which is a davar hamutter, and the muksa thing moves by itself. So it says the Ran, that's mutter. That's okay. But if the ikr is a davar ha'asur, let's say you're not going to use the couch, but you just want to put the, you know, a davar hamuksa in its proper place. So you're going to move it to put it in its proper place, but the ultimate reason you're moving it is a davar ha'asur, says the Ran, that's asur. Like in the case in the third parak, when you're moving the mace, machmas asma shalay yisriyach pachama, when you're going to move a mace, we discuss, so it doesn't get ruined, doesn't get putrid in the sun, that's going to be asur. Alright, so what about our Mishnah? Hakash al gabi hamita, why are you moving it? You're moving it to be comfortable in your bed. You're the davar hamutter, right? You're making it comfortable for you. So that's why the Ran says, that's the chilek between tiltum and atzad. Tiltum and atzad, tzorach davar hamutter is mutter, but tzorach davar ha'aser is aser, depending on what your purpose is. Says the Rush on that Gemara, back in the third parak, I don't agree. Because in this Gemara about the straw, that's the tzorach davar ha'aser. You're making the straw better for you, more comfortable for you. It's not for you. What are you moving? You're not moving yourself. You're moving the straw, which is muksa. And you want to make the straw, you want to fluff the straw. You want to make it a better bed for you. So the Rush says it can't be l'tzarach davar hamutter, l'tzarach davar ha'aser. So the Rush quotes a different chilek, and this is the chilek quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It says the Rush, there are two levels of tiltum and atzad. The Ran had said there are two purposes, depends what your purpose is. But the Rush said, no, be mechalik between how you're moving it. Are you moving something directly? Or are you moving something bigufo very indirectly? Listen to the lashon of the Rush. The Rush says in Gimel Yutes, the hasam af tiltul ein kan kumo paga v'charo o pugla shum metaltan biyado v'agaban metaltan lover ha'aser. By the pugla, by the little radish or something else, you're doing a direct act with your hands or with other part of your body. Av bakash, but bakash with the straw in the bed, einu metaltan el bigufo kalachar yad. You're doing it with your body. Hilkach avagav de lakashahu muksahu tsarach medamili latotam natsachu darach davar hamutter. Says the Rosh, the difference is, how are you moving it? There are different levels of tiltum and hatsad. Against the Ran and Tosfos who say it depends on your purpose, but there are different levels of tiltum and hatsad. How indirect is it? And this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Tiltum and hatsad al darach davar hamutter mutter. If you're doing something indirect with tsarach davar hamutter, it's mutter. But now the Rosh's chiddush is that even if it's the tsarach davar ha'aser, like in our case of the straw, it's the tsarach davar ha'aser, you want to move the straw, still, if you move it begufo, with your body, so that's going to be mutter. The tiltu begufo afilu tsarach davar ha'aser, mutter. Hilkoch, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Kash al hamita destomo muksa lahasaka menanei abagufo. You're allowed to move it with your body, with your shoulders, and get yourself into bed. That is mutter. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, and we pass it this way. Tilta begufo perish she'enu nogea biyado. You don't touch it with your hands, but begufo o b'shari varav, any other part of your body. So that's not tilta menatzad. That's even less. Tilta menatzad means I'm moving something directly with my hands, but it's not directly touching the davar hamuksa. Something I'm moving, picking up the radish, and the muksa thing falls off. I pick up the blanket, and so that's tilta menatzad, and that's usur if you're doing it l'tzorach davar hamutar. But if you're doing something with your body, not with your hands, but some other part of your body, it's mutter. Based on this, one would say that kicking the rock or doing other things, that's not with your hands, that's with your body, and therefore it should be mutter. The Chazon Ish, though, argues on this as well. He doesn't understand the Rush that way. Anybody have any other way? Is the Rush saying that any indirect movement, not with your hands, is going to be mutter? Says the Chazon Ish, and it's a very important Chazon Ish for our Gemara. Says the Chazon Ish, where is it? Says the Chazon Ish, no, what's going on in our Gemara? You know what the Rush means? Indirect? You're not even, like, you're getting into bed and you're just shaking around to get the straw. That's different than kicking a rock. The Rush isn't saying any other part of your body besides your hand is going to be mutter. No, it's also going to be aser. All the Rush meant was like, you're not even moving it. You don't even have kavanah to be metaltel. You're just lying down in bed and getting comfortable. That's what's mutter. That's the only thing that's mutter. But any, even indirect, even begufo. The Chazon Ish notes that this is against the Magen Avraham, the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah, and others. It's the chumra of the Chazon Ish. Most poskim seem to be mekel to loka Chazon Ish, but this is the Chazon Ish, how he understands the Gemara. That's what he says. Ulfi amur ein heter klal with taltal muksa betchifas haregel with sarach hamuksa. Right? He says I don't like the heter. He says here it's not called tiltal. It's called shriva. It's called lying down. So if it's lying down, therefore it's not. So again, it's mistaber. It's a very nice way to understand the Gemara. But again, most poskim understand the Rush differently as. Period, tilto begufo, any tilto with your body, not with your hand, is going to be mutter. Okay, it's interesting, just as another ha'ara, at the end of the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa, the end of Chelak Aleph, the last page, before the index, it says, ha'ara me'es Rosh Zaman Oyerbach. Alright, footnote, ha'ara. So you would think, there are 200 pages in Shmir Shabbos, what is he going to tell us, a ha'ara? So it's about tilto menasad. It's about, he goes to the Rush, and the Chazon Ish, etc., etc. And he says, notes that most poskim are against the Chazon Ish, but it's interesting that out of all the Ha'aris, he says, this great, wonderful Sefer Chashuv, I have to be mayor something. The whole Sefer is Rosh Shlomo Zalman in every other page, in the footnotes. But it's interesting that he has a two-page Ha'ara on this issue of Tilta Menatzah. Okay, let's continue. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hani Pilpili, Medik Chadachada, Bekata Tesakina, Shari. If you have pepper and you are chopping it up very finely, one by one, with the handle of a knife, that's mutter. Tarti Aser. But if you do two of them, that's Aser. Rava Amar, Kiva the Mishani, Afilu Tuvanam. Your Rava said, no, since you're doing it in a Mishuna way, in an unusual way, even more than that is Aser. Two issues. Number one, are we talking about Shabbos or Yontafir? Not 100% clear. Most Rishonim say we're talking about Shabbos. Rashi does not say one way or the other. Tosfos here has two different dais. He quotes Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, B'she'iltos D'Rav Achai, Mefarish B'Yantif. And Tosfos argues, he thinks, Yantif, there's no issue, so we're talking about Shabbos. Most Mefarshim seem to say we're talking about Shabbos. So what's the potential problem here? Tochein. You know, Tochein is one of the Melecha Shabbos. Grinding. Grinding doesn't just mean grinding, it means pulverizing. It means chopping very finely. It means dicing. That's also grinding. So why is it allowed here? So Rav Yehuda, the Tanakhama here, says it's allowed, as Rashi and other Achronim explained, because you're doing two shinuyim. It's a double shinui. You're using the back of a knife, and you're only doing one by one. So sometimes, if you do a certain malacha with a double shinui, it's so far removed from the malacha, it's mutter. Sometimes, you have a couple shinuyim, it's still asumi drabanan. That's what it usually is. But by certain halachas, we discuss it by lush. If you do two shinuyim by lush, add the ingredients differently, and you do X's and O's instead of circular. So here too, says Rav Yehuda, that if you do this shinui gadol, it is going to be mutter. And Rava says, no, once you're being mishana, you can even do more than one. Again, the ikar, according to Rava, is just using the back of the knife. I'm Rav Yehuda, ha man desachi b'maya. Let's say somebody is in the water, and he's soaking wet. Lingov nafshe, the Mishnah Berurah, the folks are going to point out, you're not supposed to go into the water. You're supposed to dip in a lake on Shabbos. Right? Even if it's not issue of warm water, there's no issue of chamin here, which is a separate gzeira drabanan of going into a hot water, even without getting your hair wet on Shabbos. But the Mishnah Berurah already says, another poskim, that we don't go into big waters on on Shabbos. This is in Shin Chavav Chaf Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah notes, Kasvu haposkim, denagush lo lirchos klau ben nahar o b'mikvah, demasi lovelu deschita seyer, v'od kama ta'amim. Again, the mikveh issue, I guess there are different minhagim. But the Mishnah Berurah says the minhag is not to go into a nahar. But let's say somebody went in by mistake, or he had to get somewhere, he's soaking wet. Lingov nafshi bereisha v'hada lislik, says the Rav Yehuda, first dry yourself off, and then come out. Dilma asi, meaning just slowly as you come out of the water, you should make sure you're dry, because dilma asi lasuya dalaramas makarmelis. Maybe you're going to walk out, maybe next to the water it's going to be a karmelis, which is right in makoma, it's asa midrabana to carry dalaramas in, and you should dry yourself off, because you're going to end up carrying the water for amos in a karmelis. Ihachi kika nachas nami, kagdachi kocho dalaramas vazir. When you go into the water, the force of your body pushes the water, and the water we've discussed in the past, the water itself is a karmelis. We had Mishnayos on Daf Kuf earlier that the water itself is a karmelis. So you're moving the water dalaramas. So what do you have to be worried about coming out for? The water itself going in. So kocho karmelis lo gazir. No, kocho, your force, which is an indirect way of moving the water in a karmelis, which itself is derabanan, and they weren't gozer on. They were only gozer on actual movement in a karmelis, but not kocho b'karmelis. Shulchan Aruch discusses, based on the rush, here discusses, what about you're walking in the rain, and you're soaking wet, and you're in a place without an eruv, and you have tons of rain on you. So, you have to stop? You have to wait till the sun comes out? So, the rush, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, that number one, you probably don't have enough rain in one spot in order for it to be the proper shear. Number two, the Taz says, Yafshar ben Yachir. What are you supposed to do? It's like walking on the snow. You have to go home, you have to walk on the snow. You can't walk? So the Posim say, Yafshar ben Yachir. If it's a normal act, and you're just doing your normal way of life, you're not doing a malacha specifically, you're walking, you're this, you're that, I don't have to say, we don't call that a malacha. It's kind of a misasik type of issue, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Amar Abaya, the Itema Rabbi Yehuda, titsha agabe raglo. Let's say you get mud on your shoe. Right? So how do you get it off? So we're going to have various halachas here, one not having to do with the other one. Some were muksa before, the other one was the carrying in the karmelis. Now we have a different one. Let's say you have mud on your shoe, mekanchel b'karkavim kachel b'chosa. Rabbi Yehuda says you should wipe it on the floor, on the dirt floor, l'chora, and not on the wall. Amar Rava, my time up. Rava says, why do you think it's a problem on the wall? Lo mishum demechzi kabone. Because let's say they didn't have fancy walls like we have. They had like earthenware, dirt walls. So if you rub your shoe, the mud on the wall, it appears like you're trying to, let's say, add another layer of dirt to the wall. And if it's mechzi kabone, it appears like building. So Gemara, so the Rava says, that's the problem. Habidin chaklahu. This isn't building. B'chakla is like a poor man's building. That's not building. That's not going to be a problem. And the way the Ritva formulates it is that it doesn't. It's not even the Issa D'Rabbanan Abone. It's like a D'Rabbanan Abone, but you don't have Kavana for it. It's a Psik Reisha by an Issa D'Rabbanan. So it's not going to be Asard, which we mentioned is a Machlokas itself. But the Psik Reisha of an Issa D'Rabbanan, if you're doing an Issa D'Rabbanan, but you don't have Kavana, but it's a Psik Reisha, is that going to be Asard? So the Ritva here seems to say that's going to be Mutter. So that can't be the issue. It can't be a problem of rubbing against the wall and not on the ground. So says the Rava just the opposite. Ela Amar Rava, Mekanchel B'Kosel V'Mekanchel B'Karka. You allow to rub it on the wall because there's no issue of Bona. You can't rub it on the ground. Dilma Asila Shvi Yegumos. Because it might be that you're going to be rubbing it on the ground and then you're going to see that the ground isn't level. Not that you're going to smooth it as you wipe, but you will see the ground won't be level, and you might come to level the ground, which would be an Issa D'Oraisa of Choresh, of plowing, of leveling the ground. So that's why you shouldn't wipe it on the karka. It's outside. It's doing outside. Doing it outside. L'chora. Right. Okay. Inside. We mentioned. Right. Boner Choresh. Sorry? Mamachik, we'll get to mamachik in a little bit, but smoothing out the ground is not mamachik. Oh, smoothing out the wall, but here I guess the wall is, you're just adding on another layer, it seems. You're right, if you'd be smoothing it out, maybe it would be an issue, but the Gemara doesn't seem to discuss that. But you're right, that could be a possibility too, mamachik. Ravina said they're both usher, the wall and the ground. They're both mutter. According to Ravina, it's always usher. So he's supposed to wipe your foot. Let's say you step in dirt. Let's say you step in something else that you want to get off your foot. So then you can wipe it on a board, on the floor. A board, you don't have the issue of smoothing out the ground. You don't have the issue of bonus. So let's say somebody steps in something that is, you want to get off your foot on Shabbos, you should not wipe it on a dirt, the ground, let's say in your backyard, which is dirt. You want to wipe it on the sidewalk, on the cement, something that's hard, then there's no issue. You could wipe it on the edge of a gutter, edge of the street, but it shouldn't be wiped on the dirt ground because that's the issue of asilah shviya gumos. Amarava, a person shouldn't sit on the edge of a mavu. Remember, we discussed mavu all the way back at the beginning of the Masechta. Don't worry about the Hashem, in a couple of weeks, we'll have a lot of mavu discussion. Erevin's coming up. So it says, you're not supposed to be on the edge of a mavu. We have an alleyway separating it from Rosh Hashanah. There's so it's called a lechi. Lechis and koras, we said. Koras are the horizontal boards. Lechis are the vertical poles. So a person shouldn't sit around there. Why? Dilma mignidera lechi. That's vasil asuye. Maybe your kids are going to be playing ball or something inside. The ball's going to roll over to you. Let's say a mutter ball that you're allowed to play on Shabbos. And the ball's going to run over, and you're going to say, okay, I got it. You're going to throw it back in, so you're not going to remember that you're sitting on a border here. So because you're not going to remember that you're sitting on a border, that's why it's not a good idea to sit there. But Amar Rava, Lovlitzadet Inish Kuba, a person shouldn't position. We had a tzidud at the beginning of a Habona a couple weeks ago. You shouldn't position a barrel on the ground, like in a permanent way, to find it a stable place. Because again, as you try to stabilize it in the ground, you might come to be mashva gumos to make sure it's straight, because you don't want anything to spill out. The Amar Rava, and again, that's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah here notes, it's an interesting Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah here, and when he quotes this halacha, notes, even though, he says, v'af shem makalkel hu, v'gam halacha shen esrich l'gufa hu, v'gam chofer kalachar yad hu, afal piki enosu midiver sofrim. Says even though you have all these reasons laheter, you don't have kavana to be due to make it flat, and it's a malachah shenisrich lagufa, and it's makalkal, you're ruining the ground under it. Still, it's asa midirabanan because you might come to be mashve gumos. It's zera. Whenever you're in the world of zeras, you don't have to worry about, you don't think about inherently what you're doing. You think about, is this act, might it bring you to this daraisa? So even if it's makalkal and malachah shenisrich lagufa, etc., the rabbanan could still answer it. V'yama Rava also says, a person should not stick a bunch of wool or some other material in the hole of a barrel. Dilma asli de schita, because you might come to schita, squeezing out, again, if you have a barrel full of wine and you're closing it up, so then obviously there's going to be liquid coming in there, and as you stick it in to the barrel, you're going to come to schita. These two lines are discussed at length in other places in the Masechta. This is the issue of the Aruch and the other Rishonim. If you remember the Machlokas Rishonim, Sekreshu de lo nichalei. If a Malacha is Vade going to happen, but you're not interested in the result. Sekreshu de lo nichalei. So we generally paskin that's Aser Midrabanan. The Aruch paskins it's Mutter. So here, what does the Gemara say? You shouldn't do this Doma Asilu de Schita. So what would the Aruch say? Why would this be Aser? Or what would the other Rishonim say? So other Rishonim use this as a Raya against the Aruch. Because the issue is, what? The Pasha of the Gemara is that you're squeezing out this wine and the wine's going to the floor. Right? So it's Psik Reisha, it's going to squeeze, but it's Lo Nichalei, it's going to go to the floor. So what is it still? It still says it's Aser. Right? What do you mean? It's, why should it be Aser? According to you, Aruch, Psik Reisha Lo Nichalei should be Mutter. Right? So that's why the Aruch has to interpret this Gemara somehow as you have some kind of spout that the water is going to go back into the barrel once it's squeezed out. He has interpreted it as a Psik Reisha Lo Nichalei, because he holds Lo Nichalei is Mutter. Anyway, this is a line, again, we had many other places we've discussed it. That issue of secretion, lo nichalei, some Gemaras are mashma more like the Aruch, some Gemaras are mashma more like Shaar Rishonim. Amar Rav Kahana, Tich Agabe Bigdo, kind of says if you got dirt on your beged, or to put it more in our terms, also you get some chalant on your shirt, says the Gemara, you can't rub it very well from the outside, directly getting off the dirt, but from the inside, you can like push it off from the inside of the shirt. You're allowed to push it off. Post them say why? Because that's not going to do as good of a job, and it's not going to be the potential problem here is libun malabain cleaning. It's also malacha daraisa. What are you allowed to do? Says the Gemara. Rav Kana says only from the inside. Meisve, but we have a brisa that says the following: Tichak abim min olam gar begav sakin. If you have dirt on your shoe, you're allowed to rub it with the handle of a knife. V'shal bigdo, but if you have dirt on your they had leather shoes in those days. V'shal bigdo, and on your begen megar b'tziporin, you're only allowed to rub it off with your fingernail. Ubavach lo yikaskes, as long as you don't be makaskes and rub it at all. My lav shalo yikaskes kal, doesn't that mean you can't be makaskes at all? Against the previous brisa who said you can be makaskes, rub it from the inside, from the opposite side. Lo, shalo yikaskes b'chutz lo nivafnim. It just means you're allowed to rub it from the outside, but not from the inside. before on Rashi here. Rashi says, why is from the inside? Right, let's say your challah's on the outside of your shirt. So you go from the inside, you like push it off a little bit. Why is that mutter? So Rashi has 2 points. Third to last line, mi bifnim, de lo muchacha milsa de ila ischazuye kimalabein. Number one, it doesn't appear that you're cleaning. You're not like stair rubbing. You're like on the inside of your shirt, you give it a good zetz, and the piece falls off. So it doesn't look like you're cleaning. Umalabin mamish lohavi, and it's also not actual cleaning. De enosin shamayim. It's not malabi daraisa because you're not using any water. Again, the first thing, sometimes it's a knee-jerk reaction. The first thing, what happens? You got to stay there, like, get the seltzer, get the club soda. Yeah, you're running into serious quest problems there. Get the an extra shirt. That's what should be the knee-jerk reaction. Get a different shirt. Using any type of liquid is very dangerous and very usser. Right? So that's why whenever you get a stain, okay, you can take off the clump, you can take it off. You know, especially the part that's not touching your shirt. Let's say you got a good gesunta amount of challah there. So then, or let's say your kid's hands are dirty and they touch your shirt. So anything that's not touching the shirt, for sure you could remove. But once it's touching the shirt, one has to be very careful not to try to clean, not to rub it very well, cleaning it at all, because that could be at least, even if you don't use water, it could be Mexico, it could be a drabanan malabain. But any type of liquid, you're getting into the daraisas issues. No liquid when it comes to cleaning these issues. So, but what does it sound like from Rashi? That you need mayim in order for it to be the daraisa. That's what the Gilyon Hashas here leaves Rashi b'tzarachiyin. See the little star, the little circle. The Gilyon Hashas from Kivegar on the bottom says ayin Rashi later on kuf mem zayin amar aleph b'tzarachiyin. So a lot of times they look at the Gilyon Hashas like what is he trying to say? So here it seems pretty straightforward. Rashi there we're going to get to it on Kuf Mem Zayin a couple of days. Bez Hashem. Rashi there says if you have dirt on your jacket, if you have dust on your jacket, even shaking it off, or dust on your hand, even shaking it off could be an Issur Daraisa, Chayiv Chatos. Rashi there says that, and Rashi says because Zehu Libuna. So ask from Kibega. Rashi here says you have to have water. What do you mean shaking off, dusting off your jacket is going to be the daraisa of libun? You have to have water. Tzarachian on Rashi. That's why he leads up to Tzarachian. Other achronim, the Nitziv, the Merumi Sadeh, and others explain maybe there's a difference. In a place over there by your jacket, if you have dust on your jacket. Right, there, like a couple weeks ago, we had a kiddush outside, and I picked up one of my kids, and all dirt. I got 3 or 4 comments, one after another. Rabbi, I'm like, what can I do? If you brush it off very well, we're going to learn that Gemara. It's going to be a problem to brush it off very well. But so if that kind of cleaning, so you don't need water to clean that. There, rubbing off is it. So if rubbing off is all you need to clean it, that could be the daraisa without water. Mashenkin here, if you got titzal big dough, you got dirt, you got mud, that's not going anywhere without water. That's not going to get clean without water. So that's why it says the Nitziv, the Merumi Sada, on our Gemara, maybe there's a difference between what's going to work for this situation. That's going to be the daraisa. What's going to work? Okay, again, I was trying to remember it. I'm sure somebody out there remembers it. But a couple of months ago, we had a Gemara where there's one of the Amorim said that people aren't nisar in this, about cleaning the beged. That people aren't careful, and I'm going to have to do my homework and look for it more. I remember, I think it's at the bottom of an Amud Aleph. That people are nisar and careful and know about this halacha, about cleaning the begatim. Bez Hashem, for tomorrow, I'll try to look it up. Okay, continue. Second to last line. Amar Rabbi Yavahu, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Megari Minal Chadash, Amar Lo Yashon. You're allowed to be Megari, you're allowed to scrape off dirt from a new shoe, but not from an old shoe. Why an old shoe not? So the Rashi here says, what Yoni brought up before, Shekolfov Hami Mamachi. Because not like our shoes, now if you have dirt on your shoe and you rub it off, the shoe is a shoe. It's nothing happens to the layers of shoes. But in the olden days, the shoes weren't as finished as ours. And if you rub off a certain amount on top, that could actually smooth out the surface of the shoe. It could be rough and scraping it might even smooth it out. So therefore, that could be an issue of mamachik, smoothing a surface. So says the Rabbi Yanai, you're allowed to smooth out a new shoe, but not an old shoe. I guess an old shoe, because that would really be an issue of mamachik. V'mam magaro, amid beis, with what are you allowed to scrape the new shoe? Amarevo, v'gav sakin, with the back of a knife, but not with the front of the knife, the sharp part, because that also would be a problem. Amalei ahu saba, samidi dach mikamiha, erase your braisa. The tani Rabbi Chiya, ein magaron, lo minal chadash, lo minal yashon. I say you're not allowed to scrape a new or an old shoe. And also I say as follows. V'lo yasuch es raglo shemen. We're talking about a lot of different malachas today. Malabein, mamachek, now we have another one. V'lo yasuch es raglo shemen v'u'betoch ha'mino b'doch ha'sandol. Let's say you're wearing sandals and you want to put on some lotion that's very liquidy, so there's no issue of that. But there's another malacha called ma'abed. Ma'abed is tanning. What's tanning? Tanning is part of the process that they use to go from animal skin in order to make leather. So any type of preservation of a material could be in the malacha ma'abe, pickling on Shabbos. putting a cucumber in pickle juice on Shabbos could be, if you're doing it to sell or something, there's a concept of aim ibud ba'ochlin, that's an example. You are preserving it, a cucumber will last a week, a pickle can last a month, right? So that's preservation, that could be an issue of ma'abe. Salting something very well, that's also preserving it, is ma'abe. So having leather and smearing it with oil also is part of the process of ma'abe. So says the Gemara, at least on a Durabana level, when your shoe is in your sandal, you shouldn't smear your leg with oil, because that oil is going to then directly go onto the shoe, and it could be an issue of ma'abe. Again, this is Bizman HaGemara, when shoes actually, there was a difference with when they got some oil on them. Nowadays, our shoes are totally finished, so l'chore, it wouldn't be a problem. You'll have to first wipe yourself with the oil, and then put your foot inside, because then it'll be dried off already, and it won't be so directly effective. V'sakal gufo shemen, also you're allowed to wipe your body with oil. Again, we're not talking about Yom Kippur here. That's Isra Sicha. On Shabbos, there's no Isra Sicha. Right? It's Tanuk, as long as it's liquidy enough. U'misagal gabi katavlaya, v'eino choshesh. Also, you can rub your whole body with oil and roll around on this leather mat, and you don't have to be worried. Amar Efchizda, lo shonu lo tzachzicha. When do you say all this is mutter? When you put the oil on first and then put your shoe in, that's only if your kavana is to polish and shine the shoe. But if your kavana is mamish to be ma'abe the shoe, so then even if you put it on before, it's going to be aser. So the Gemara says, one second, both statements are pashut. We don't need la'abdo pshita. Number one, if your kavana is to be ma'abe, of course it's going to be aser. V'sula tzachzik v'mikim on the shari, but even if your kavana is to polish, that also should be aser midrabanan. Polishing a shoe, if you're using it for tzichzuch, that also aser midrabanan. So yin mar hachi yin mar. Amr, Efchezer says, you're right. Loshana elashir l'tzachzichol, you're right. You can't have kavana for either. But if you're allowed to put on the shear of tzichzuch of polishing, which is a smaller shear, of a shear la'abdo aser, but using the amount of oil that could be used to be ma'abe the shoe, that would be aser. Tan Rabbanan. Lo yetzi katan b'minal gadol. A child is not allowed to wear a large shoe out in Rishus Harabim. Right? Why? Because right, he wants to wear somebody's with a larger feet. Because as we had in the earlier prakim, he might come to not walk well in it. He might be embarrassed by it. He might take it off and carry it for Amos in Rishus Harabim. Aval yotzi b'chal gadol. But could they wear big long shirts? Because now we're not worried he's going to take off. He still needs a shirt outside. A woman can't go out with a ripped sandal on top. Again, because we're worried that she's going to be embarrassed and she might come to take it off. She also should not use it for chalitza. Again, not for now. We've had Beis Hashem in Maseches Yevamos talks all about chalitza. But the evet, it's good to use this kind of sandal. The process of chalitza, there's a specific type of chalitza sandal. All the batei dinim, you call up any bezin, you can't just use any sandal on the street. You go to the store and buy a sandal. The special chalitza sandal, a certain amount of wrappings, it wraps around the foot a certain amount of times. You see pictures of it. Chalitza sandals. But this type of minal that is ripped a little bit on top, marufad, b'di'evit, can be used for a chalitza sandal. Vein yotzev minal chadash, beiza minal amru b'minal shal isha. A woman shouldn't go out with a new shoe on Shabbos for the first time, because it might not fit her, she might not be comfortable with it, and again, she might take it off. Tani bar kabar lo shonel shlo yasav shal achas. That's only if she never wore it before Shabbos. Avo yasav yibayar Shabbos motor. But if she wore it already, then we assume she's used to it and she likes it, and therefore she can wear it outside on Shabbos. Tani chada, one verse says, shom te minol me'al gabi imos. The olden days when they used to form shoes, they used to picture like we have shoe trees. Those are the things that go inside the shoe when you buy the shoe. I guess in the 100 years, I think even 50 years ago, it was more common to keep them inside your shoe. Now they'd be kick off our shoes. That's it. But in the olden days, not only did they use a shoe tree to preserve the shape of the shoe, but when they formed the shoe in the first place, they had like a shoe tree. They stuck the shoe on in order to shape the shoe. And then they took it off when the shoe was ready. So once it's on that thing that they're using to shape the shoe, are you allowed to take it off on Shabbos? So Tani Chadash on the Minol Amigabi Imus. So the first brisa says you're allowed to take the shoe off. But Tani Idach Ein Shomtin. The other brisa says you're not allowed to. So Lokasher Blazer Harabanan. So it's a Machlokas Tanoim from a Mishnah in Kalim. The Tana, the Mishnah says in Kalim. Minol Shagabi Imus. If you have a shoe on this shoe tree, again, it's not exactly a shoe tree how we use it, but that thought of shoe tree. Blazer Matahir. Rabbi says Tahar. The shoe is Tahar. Why? Because the Blazer holds it's not a shoe yet until it comes off of there. It's not a finished object. So without a finished object, it's not makabel tum, it's tahar. But at the same time, you can't take it off, because it's not a kli, it is muksa. So that's the first, that's one braisa. The chametame, chametame, chametame. No, because they say it already is called a shoe once it's on there. Therefore, it's not muksa. Therefore, you let it move it, and it's called a kli. Ani chal Rava. This all works well to Rava, to Amar, who said we had back in Kalakalim, Dover Damash Alatul Isra bin Zarakub bin Zarakum Mutter Shapir. Rava said, like we hold, when you have a Klisham Alatul Isra, you're allowed to move it, Lazarakub, Lazarakum, because, yes, you're taking your shoe off. According to the Chachamim, it's better to take your shoe off, but the thing itself is going to move. Right? That tree, the shoe tree that's on, is going to move. So that's a Klisham Alatul Isra. So according to Rava, it's fine, because you're moving it, Lazarakum. You want the space inside the shoe to put your foot. Right, so that's fine because he says Lazarach Makomo is mutter. El Abaya, but according to Abaya, who had said we don't all like Abaya, but according to Abaya, who had said earlier, to Amr Lazarach Gufo mutter Lazarach Makomo aser, that it's only mutter Lazarach Gufo to move a kli shabat to Lisa and Lazarach Makomo. So Michael Amemar, what are you going to do here? Fine, the shoe is not muksa. Even the Rabbanan said that the shoe was a kli, but you're also moving the thing that the shoe is on. So that's aser. So Acham Iskina Barafui. No, it's loose. The Tanya Yudomer might roughly mutter. You're right. According to this opinion, you'd only be able to move it if it's loose, so that you don't really move the shoe tree. So the Gemara says, "Time of the roughly, hello roughly low." So only you're only allowed to move it because it's loose, but not if it's not loose. Hani chas. Now we have to throw the question back to the other way. Hani chal abaya. If the limit is only if it's loose, so that works to up for abaya. Shapir, because he says the zarak b'komo is not allowed, and therefore it has to be loose. Ela Rava, damar berak zarak guva ben zarak b'komo mutter. But according to Rava, who says Davrish klisha malatel iser is allowed to be moved, so why do you have to say if it's loose? Ma'ar yirafi if yilor finami. Why do you have to say it's loose? So Gemara answers, you're right. The reason why, according to Rava, there was a Tana that said it has to be a case of loose is not because you're worried about moving the shoe tree itself, but it's because you're worried about the shoe. Hahiv de Rabbi Yehuda, Mishud de Rabbi Eliezer. Remember, she says Rabbi Eliezer earlier that when the shoe is on the shoe tree, it's not a kli yet. Ah, but even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if it's already loose on the shoe tree, it is called a shoe. It is gemar malacha. Detanya b'yud amr b'shur b'lezer imhaya rafui mutter. Right, so that's why the maskana Abaya and Rava argue. Let's say they say it has to be a case of loose, but why does it have to be a case of loose? Is it because if it's not loose, it's not a shoe yet, and that's within Rabbi Eliezer? But we all like the chachamim that it's a shoe even if it's tight, and you're not worried about l'tzarach gufo l'tzarach b'komo. That's mutter. Abaya would say no. Even according to the rabbanon, you're not allowed to move the shoe tree, and therefore it has to be loose in order for you to take it off. What about Nebizman? Is that putting a shoe tree into your shoe? So the Shmir Shabbos passes, that's mutter, because the shoe is a shoe. You're just preserving the shape of the shoe by sticking the shoe, the way shoe trees are used, like more recently. You could put the shoe tree in because that's not shaping it, that's just preserving the shape. That's what the Shmir Shabbos says on Perek Tezvav, Os Memches, Mutter Lahachas B'toch Hana'al Es Ha'imum, Aval Osir La'asos Kein Im Kavanas La'harchiv Es Ha'al Bozeh. Let's say you have a tight shoe and you're sticking it in order to widen it, to make it bigger, that would be usher, because that's shaping it, and therefore that might be within the world of Rabbanan of Ma'abed, because you are doing something to preserve and shape. Maybe it's tikkun kli, might not be Ma'abed, might be Misake, but either way that would be usher, but just putting the shoe tree in as preservation, that would be mutter. Okay, we'll stop here. Hanukkah told them, as from tomorrow we start a new perek. Today's shiur was for Shlomo Tino Ben Golda Tova. Tino Ben Golda Tova.